And this is KUOW Seattle, and you're listening to The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.
And I'm David Hyde. A recent report revealed that there are more than 97,000 medical and health-related apps. There are apps that track your weight. There are apps that help you diet. There are even apps that can regulate a diabetic's insulin pump.
By 2017, these medical apps are expected to generate $26 billion in revenue. Patients are using them. Doctors are using them. And hardly anyone is regulating them.
Dr. David Bates works at Harvard Medical School and is chair of the FDA's Safety Innovation Act workgroup. He recently co-authored an article on health apps for the Journal of American Medicine. Our colleague Ross Reynolds spoke with Dr. David Bates about the latest health-related apps.
Give an example of some of them that you think are exciting and good.
One example is an app called Ginger.io. And Ginger.io can both ask a patient questions about their health, and it also takes data from your personal digital assistant to help figure out how you're doing. Things like how often you're sending emails or how often you're sending texts or how many phone calls you're making. Another exciting one is an app called Alive ECG. If you think you're having a problem with your heart rhythm, Alive ECG is an app that will sit on your handheld device that will let you check, and your cardiologist can later look and see what your heart rhythm was at the time you were experiencing the symptom.
Conversely, have you seen any health apps out there that you thought were not so good?
Like anything else, there's big variability among apps, but one thing that's been missing in the marketplace is an objective review of apps, so that tools to let both doctors and patients sort out which of the good apps and which ones are not so good have generally been lacking.
So if it's got 4 stars in the Apple App Store, that doesn't tell you how a professional might view this medical app.
Exactly. I would say that it's definitely a positive sign if it has 4 stars, but there still could be problems with it.
Now, there are lots of websites that purport to have health information, but actually contain a lot of misinformation when it comes to apps on smartphones. What's a consumer to do to decide whether a health app is any good?
Right now, it's a hard thing for consumers to sort out. I think one thing that they might want to do is to talk to their provider and ask them if they have any recommendations about apps that might be helpful for them, given whatever their particular issue is. Increasingly, what I'm starting to do is to recommend to patients that they consider getting apps. For example, if someone is overweight and, say, has prediabetes, I might suggest that they pick up what's called a Fitbit, which is a device which measures how many steps you take and will record that information and let you track it on an ongoing basis. If you do take more steps and you watch what you eat and follow your weight, there's some evidence that suggests that that can help you do better with those things.
And when you recommend that to a patient, how does that affect your relationship to the patient?
I think patients view it positively. They're very interested in this area. They want to try and do the best job that they can with managing their care. I don't tell anyone that they have to use an app like this. I just offer it to them as one option for those who are interested.
Now, medical devices have to be inspected by the federal government and go through an approval process. Do you think there should be some kind of government approval process for these medical apps?
I do think it's important for the federal government to have oversight over this area. And the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, has regulated apps, but they've taken a fairly light hand in terms of doing that. Unless the app supplies very specific suggestions or is part of what's considered a medical device, they have not been regulating these very closely.
I'm talking to Dr. David Bates. He's at the Harvard Medical School, and he's also chair of the Food and Drug Administration Safety Innovation Act Work Group. What are some recommendations you have for the federal government to perhaps not so lightly regulate these medical apps in a positive way for the consumer?
We did suggest that the federal government regulate apps that make very direct suggestions to patients. So, for example, some apps for patients with diabetes make explicit suggestions about what a patient might do with, say, their insulin dose. And that kind of app, if it were making incorrect suggestions, has substantial potential for harm. Many other apps are focused at things that are around wellness, like managing your weight or your diet, and we think those are of much lower risk and that substantial federal oversight is not justified.
Now, medical apps can store a lot of personal health information. Whose job is it to ensure that that information is being stored privately and can't be hacked into so that your health information could be stolen?
We do have federal guidelines for privacy, and app manufacturers are required to adhere to those guidelines. But they were written some time ago and will probably need to be strengthened.
You know, one problem here seems to be, as we mentioned at the beginning, 97,000 apps. If the FDA or a federal agency is going to look at them, that sounds like it's going to take a considerable amount of time and energy just to check them out.
It has been a huge job for the FDA, and to their credit, I think that they've done a pretty good job with it. Although I think that they didn't anticipate this becoming as big as it has, as fast as it has. And there's talk of setting up a whole group that is going to focus just on mobile apps at the FDA. I think something along those lines will probably make sense going forward.
Dr. Bates, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
That's Dr. David Bates of Harvard's Medical School. He spoke with KUOW's Ross Reynolds. You're listening to The Record on KUOW.